This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays. With a refreshing strawberry lemonade twist, it's Natterdays.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team that's on the way back, a College World Series title. Come on, Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Today is about getting back into your routine.
It's hard.
Yeah, and here we are. Alarm clock off at 4:15 this morning. Back into the routine. So everybody's had a good time and been out of town. Did you go anywhere for the 4th?
No.
Me and you, I think, were the only people that did not go out of town or do something. I was here, but had a big weekend. Ty, you've been to Nashville, right?
Nashville, Tennessee, yep.
You went to the soccer game?
I did, yeah.
How was that?
It was great. I mean, United States beat Jamaica 3-1, and that was the first U.S. game that I'd seen that they actually won and not tied. So, and then they proceeded to lose last night against Mexico.
Do you go to a lot of soccer games when you can? Or
not as many as I'd like, but it was more of a high school and college thing, but work kind of gets in the way of that. Mm-hmm. So
the big weekend's over. I know everybody enjoyed fireworks and, you know, whatever your routine was, but everybody's kind of back in the groove this weekend.
Fireworks
from the weekend.
No sleep from kids.
Nope. So now it's time to kind of get after. We got a lot to get to here on the show today. We got a full show planned for you, and John will be back tomorrow. He's at the beach talking about living life to excess. He's been in Destin for 5 days. He'll be worthless, absolutely worthless when he gets back. So he'll make his triumphant return here tomorrow. Hey, speaking of new things and getting back into a groove, we got a kind of a new thing that we're going to tell you about where you can now text the show to our normal phone numbers. You can try it. You can be the first one to send us a text this morning. That is working, right, Ty?
We're good to go, man.
Good to go. 877-377-6963. I'm going to tell you more about that in about 20 minutes, but something new and a new feature we'll be telling you about every day here on the Morning Rush. Coming up in the show, we got Tom Murphy at 7:30 as he'll join us, and we're a week away from SEC Media Days. That begins, we'll be there on Radio Row with this radio program next Monday. So, and I always equate SEC Media Days to, as I call it, the starter's pistol of college football, because that's really when it begins. It's talking season, as Spurrier used to say. We've got some Spurrier news a little bit later in the show as well. This is talking season. Chad Morris has got to go down there next week and do some talking, along with 13 other head coaches. I kind of get the feel, though, that SEC Media Days has really turned in, go do a bunch of talking, but don't say anything, because you don't want to provide bulletin board material or make promises you don't really believe you can live up to. Talking season's a bunch of talking, but there's not a whole lot of saying. That sound about right?
So far, yes.
All right. So I think that's what we'll try to wade through, and we'll talk to Tom Murphy about that. He will be at SEC Media Days next week as well. While we're talking SEC football, did you guys see, I retweeted it on my Twitter feed, at Tommy Kraft ESPN, and this made the rounds. Pat Smith, radio man in Birmingham, sent out a graphic of all the SEC schools' records since the expansion in 2012. And it wasn't pretty for Arkansas. We've talked about Arkansas's record, and it's no secret. Arkansas's 13-43 in SEC games since expansion in 2012. Now, not only did Arkansas go through, with the rest of the league, the expansion of bringing in A&M and Missouri to the league, but also at that time lost the best football coach they'd had in 25 years, or the coach with the best results in consecutive seasons in 25 or so years, since Hatfield won back-to-back Southwest Conference titles, I suppose, with Bobby Petrino. We know that. But, you know, I just wonder, Arkansas, not only, I mean, it was last, but way last in the West, too, in that category, when you look at it. And I just wonder a little bit, is that because of expansion or because of Arkansas's lack of stability? You look at Alabama, they were like 41-5. They'd lost five conference games since 2012. It's ridiculous.
It was terrible timing. To have a coach fired, the cupboard bear, a new coach come in and struggle like he did, coming from Wisconsin, everybody thought he was going to do a lot better in SEC, and he struggled for such a long time, and that instability has just killed us.
Some notes that I'd made. I went back and just researched. Yeah, Ty, don't fall out of your chair. I did some research yesterday. Let me find it here. I'm big real time. Prepared here. Pulling my notes out of my bag. But here's what I wanted to find out. Okay, of the 13-43 record, we know Arkansas has had a couple 0-for seasons. 2013 went 0-for-8. Had a 1-for-7, which isn't a hell of a lot better. When 2017, when you won one game in Bielema's final year at Ole Miss, 0-for-8 last year. Bielema had a 5-and-3 year, and if it wasn't for 2015 and 16 in this stretch, it would be really bad. I mean, it's bad enough at 13-43. But here's what I also wanted to know: you've only won 13 games in this stretch. How many games did you lose by 27 or more? Because that's the one thing that's just as egregious is how many times Arkansas has just been slaughtered. And there's been 14 games in that same time period where Arkansas has lost by 27 or more points in league play. Did it three times in 2012, avoided that mark in 13, and four, hang on, pardon me, twice in 13 it happened. Lost to South Carolina and Bama, 52-7 to South Carolina, 52-0 in 2013. That was Bielema's first year. In 14, no losses by 27 or more. In 15, didn't do it either. But then in 16, had two. That was the year they beat Florida at home and then lost to Auburn 56-3 and then beat Florida at home the next week. Yeah, I'm putting that together. 56-3 to Auburn that year, and then also in 2016, lost to LSU 38-10. And then in 2017, Bielema's final year, four different times, and this is why he got fired. Yeah, it was the Missouri game. Yeah, he'd lost the team. He'd lost the program. Lost four different times, or probably three different times, and then three-game losing streak. Lost to South Carolina by 27, lost 41-9 to Bama, got beat 52-20 by Auburn. And then last year was just abysmal as well. That's the part that, for fans, you look at the record, there was one, two, three, four different games last year by 27 or more. So, lost to Auburn 34-3. Bama, everybody felt good about that Bama game. 65-31 the final. Mississippi State 52-6, and Missouri 38-0. So, I mean, that's inside that 43 games. You've had 14 of them. You just got your clock cleaned.
So we don't need any bulletin board material this week.
Right.
Next week.
I'm just talking about you go into SEC Media Days. But my question is, all right, we know the record. We don't need to relive that. My question is why? Is it because A&M's coming in the league? Is this also going to fold into some recruiting conversation? Arkansas has got 11 commitments for the 2020 class. 8 of those 11 are from Texas. Bielema didn't care about recruiting Texas. Is that what's going to turn this around? I mean, the question is why, since 2012, has Arkansas only won 13 SEC games and gotten slaughtered 14 more times in 43 losses?
I don't think Bobby and Brett did a good job of continuing the recruiting process. I think they had a couple of good years, but they didn't build an actual big program, and so, I think that struggled.
Arkansas got another commitment out of Texas for the 2020 class. We're going to get to that later in the show. They're up to 11 commitments, but don't get too excited yet. That's 12th in the league and 36th nationally, according to 24/7 Sports. We're going to break all that down as Arkansas continues to have official visits, unofficial visits, and going through the process, but 11 commitments already for the 2020 class, and some news on that as from the holiday weekend after we broke away. Musselman's been busy. Seems like recruiting's just kind of a hot thing right now with both sports up there, football and basketball. But football on their way. Got 2 4-stars, 9 3-stars, depending on what service you're looking at. It seems like there's momentum, and you're doing better, and then you look at where you fall in your own conference, and you're like, geez, you know? It's like losing 25 pounds and realizing you got 50 more to go. You're better, but, oh, man.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays, a light lager brewed with a phenomenal strawberry lemonade flavor that's perfect for bringing the fun to every occasion. The new Natural Light Natterdays.
Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
We never know when he's going to stop in. We hadn't seen him in a few weeks, but Officer Breeden is here after a extended 4th of July weekend. How did that go out there this weekend?
It was a great weekend. We had
anything exciting happen?
Well, we had the fireworks show, and you know, I was able to remove four different drivers who really shouldn't be out in the public, and we gave them a one-way trip down Townsend Avenue.
And, all right. Anything else? Anything else noteworthy?
You know, we're just waiting on football season now. We really, it's time to block and tackle.
All right. Well, did you do any blocking and tackling over?
Not before last. Yes. As a matter of fact, I went into the form tackle. It was pretty interesting.
You said you were in a foot race and two fights, and you won all three. Is what you said before?
Yeah, I feel like a triple crown winner.
Triple secretariat right here.
Yeah. Well, you know, guys want to scuffle sometimes. It's okay. I mean, kind of enjoy that. But you know, if you make me chase you down, I run because I have to, not because I like it. So yeah, I was able to tackle somebody.
Mm. Do you know this guy next to you, Brett? You ever met him before?
That's the first time I've met him.
Hmm. I think that'd be a good scuffling match right there. He used to scuffle for a living.
Did he?
In the NFL.
Well, you know, that would be a pretty good match.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he and I should tag team. We've got extra uniforms. You just come with me.
He's looking for a job right now.
I am unemployed.
Well, we can help you out. we need somebody. You can ride with me, you know. We could have.
We should do a ride along.
I've been wanting to do one of those.
You need to. They're fun.
He's invited me to come, but I have not fulfilled my end of the obligation, which is showing up. You know.
Yeah, you just show up. Show up. Right, you show up.
We're going to do that this month. All right.
And you know, there's a challenge with Ty on being tased. We were up to a pretty good amount of money, and I said we'll just double the money. I'll tase him. He tases me, and he still hasn't done that.
Still out on that, Ty?
It's not terrible. I did that like 3 years ago.
All right.
In my living room.
Yeah, it's kind of like having a mouthful of bumblebees.
Yeah.
You know?
Sounds delightful. Sounds delightful. All right. Well, it's good to see you. Hadn't heard from you in a while. Who is the new guy? I thought it was Mark Martin. All right. I'll get back to that comment. Maybe this texting in thing wasn't such a good idea. I don't. All right. Good to see you again.
Hey,
hope you had a great fourth. Officer Breeden with a pop in here on the show. Let's hit the phone lines here, Ty. Danny's been holding for a while in Russville. Danny, good morning.
Good morning, Tommy. I think we should hire Officer Breeden and the guy that tackled Baker Mayfield as a tackling coordinators up there at Hogs.
Yeah. Officer Breeden and the I don't remember the officer's name in Fayetteville that did tackle Baker Mayfield.
Well, that was a good tackle.
It was a good form tackle. He wrapped up. Locked
the
wrist.
You got
the key to a good tackle is when you get your arms around him, you got to take one hand and lock the wrist with the other.
As far as this recruiting, you look at Clemson. They, this year, I believe they're rated number one.
Yes.
But they've never been rated that high. They started out, you know, middle of the pack, around 20, 15. But winning will do a lot of good things for you. I mean, they're
it's the best promotion ever.
They're up there now. Mm-hmm. They're up there with Alabama, and I think the reason Arkansas is so low is because they've only got 11 recruits. You got some rated ahead of Arkansas that have maybe 15 three stars, but no four stars. You know, unless we get all four stars, we're not going to be in the top 10. You just have to trust that these guys are good talent evaluators. And look at it this way. We had a lazy head coach, Brett Bielema. He didn't work on recruiting like he should. And we had a lazy coach in basketball as far as recruiting. But now we got a couple guys that work. At least they're trying. And I think results will be forthcoming if they keep working.
Yeah.
Anyway, guys, thanks for taking my call, and you have a good day.
It's amazing. Appreciate you calling it. It is amazing, though, when you get coaches that feel like they have something to prove. Because I do think some of what Danny's saying is accurate. You got coaches, and I think Anderson never got to the point he had quit working or quit recruiting. I think Nolan, at the end, he even made statements, we don't recruit, we select. And that was, you know, nearly 25 years ago at this point. But certainly 20. But Bielema, you can certainly make the case that he got to a point where the money was so good, the contract was so great, the buyout was so awesome, the motivation was gone. He didn't feel like he needed to prove anything in the world, because look at my record in the Big Ten. He didn't care about proving anything in the SEC, or at least that's the appearance from the outside looking in, the way it appears. Yeah, you've got, for the first time, two head coaches up there at the same time that seem to get recruiting. That's always been Arkansas to give up one to get the other, either a great developer and a great motivator in Houston Nutt, but not necessarily the best of recruiters, or you got someone in like Bobby Petrino, who is a masterful technician as an X's and O's guy, but it had a great first recruiting class, but didn't make recruiting a top priority. This is really, guys, is this the first head coach in football that has been this all in on recruiting? I mean,
you'd have to go back to like Frank and like way back when.
To if you're anybody gonna, that made, I mean, but you can't even compare it to the Broyles era, because back then you got 1,000 scholarships. I mean, literally the scholarship limits didn't exist. And now it's just a whole different game. Then it's changed even more in the last 10 years with the limit of 25 a year on the signees. Now you got graduate transfers. I mean, it's just evolved over time.
Arkansas's visibility from a national standpoint, recruiting-wise, is probably the biggest it's ever been. Even coming off a 2-10 season. I mean, you think about that. You're talking about Brett Bielema, Tommy. He pissed off every single Texas high school coach when he said, if you don't play with fullback, we'll kick your ass. Like, you can't do that. The Texas high school football is not based on that.
Say it, much less do it.
Yeah, like, for him to say that and burn relationships with the state that Arkansas has to recruit in order to be relevant in the SEC, that set Arkansas back a number of years. And you saw that, the fact that he wasn't able to recruit Texas like he should have been. You see it with Chad Morris, what, 8 of 11 of these recruits?
8 of 11. Kevontae Dixon committed on Thursday, on July 4th. He becomes the 11th commitment for Arkansas. 8 of the Arkansas 11 are from the state of Texas. The other 3, 2 are from Arkansas, 1 from Louisiana. But you say, well, that's great. Man, that is awesome. Woo, pig. Woo, yeah. Hang on here. You're last in the West right now, and you're 36th in the nation, according to 247 Sports. So all of that's great. You got 8 Texas recruits. But you're still last in the West. In fact, when you look at the only schools in the conference that are below you right now are Missouri and Vanderbilt in recruiting for 2020. So, I mean, the bottom line is you've got 2 4 stars and 9 3 stars. And you look at where these guys rank nationally. I think, I'll write it down, not on this sheet. Dixon was like 540th or something like that nationally. I mean, you just got to get guys that are ranked higher and are 4 stars. You get, if you want to get that 36th up. So
the important thing for Arkansas, though, is the development. Like, we are recruiting better, but we're going to be really big for years to come if it's going to be improvements, is we've got to develop every single one of these players. And I think that's the important factor for a place like Arkansas, Vanderbilt, Kentucky, that are competing against Alabamas and Clemsons of the world. Is you're going to get them, but you got to develop them.
I agree, but you got to start with something better than what you had in the past.
But we are starting now.
Right. Correct. I agree.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays, the new beer of the summer with a refreshing strawberry lemonade twist. Natterdays, fun for every occasion.
They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house.
Tom Murphy will be in Hoover, Alabama as well. In fact, that'll be generally the one time a year Tom Murphy will join us live and in person. And it will be from Radio Row next week. I assume you will be there again this year, Tom.
I will be there this year. It's always a pleasurable time to be sitting at the table with you guys with the headphones on. It makes me feel big.
Clearly a man with low expectations is Tom Murphy. Hey, speaking of expectations, what do you expect from Chad Morris? Every coach goes in there with some kind of marketing or agenda they're trying to push about their program, setting expectations for the fans, for the rest of the media. What do you think Chad Morris's message will be a week from today?
Well, probably largely along the lines of we're improving. We're going to be better, and we're not going to let the people of Arkansas down. I think he believes that, and I'm not sure exactly the timetable when it's going to happen, but I also do think they're going to be a better team. It would be hard to be much worse than last year's 2-10, that's for sure.
Some of the evidence of what they're trying to do is obviously coming in the form of recruiting. That's the only way this program is going to get out of the mess they're in. I think we agree on that, is recruit their way out of it. 11 commitments now for the 2020 class. I know you don't cover recruiting, but you keep up with what's going on. Tom, you can't help but notice there's 8 of the 11 have come from the state of Texas. I think that makes a statement about what he's trying to do with the roster of this football team moving forward.
No doubt about it. His chops there are undeniable. And, of course, Jeff Traylor, running backs coach, associate head coach, has done a great job. I mean, they're kicking it in East Texas. And it's just an extension, continuation of what they had going on last year. And, you know, if they keep on the track they're on, they'll have another top 25 type class, which they had with their first one. And that's how you do it. Stack class upon class, get yourself a great quarterback, and some impact players on both sides of the ball, improve your speed, and there you go. They're just in the, you know, still pretty much the infant stages of adding all that great speed they need to get to their roster.
Tom Murphy with the Arkansas Democrat Gazette with us every Monday at this time on the Morning Rush. You mentioned that top 25 class right now, and again, way early. They've got 11 of their commitments in, got, you know, more than half to go. They got, 14 more spots left in theory. They're 36th nationally and 12th in the SEC and last in the West. Are you concerned about that, the start they're off to? Because they've got 2-4 stars and 9-3 stars, according to the 247 Sports' rankings. Is that concern you at this point?
Well, it's just because everybody else in the SEC also has great recruiting, and I would say mild concern, but that falls along the lines with many of the classes that, you know, Houston Nutt was able to develop a strong team with, and many of the classes that Bobby Petrino inherited and turned into a team that was top five. So only mild concern at this point, I'd say.
We're like 54 days now or whatever it is from the start of Arkansas football here in the state. This roster, when you look at it, and we're starting to analyze the roster and look, I think there's, 31 or 32 new players? That's really one of the things. It's not just recruiting high school players anymore. It's recruiting graduate transfers. It's recruiting players from JUCO. This roster is going to have a pretty decent new look from the standpoint, not quite half, but as far as scholarship spots, nearly half the players are going to be different players this year.
No question about that. I mean, there was attrition. There was a bit of a purge. You know, if you're not part of the deal, find a new situation. I mean, guys that you probably didn't want to lose, like Jonathan Nance, LaMichael Petway, but both quarterbacks. I mean, when you think about it, a lot of the key skill guys that they entered the 2018 season with are no longer on the roster. Thankfully, you know, with Ben Hicks transferring in and the quarterbacks getting a year older and Nick Starkel coming in, and the fact that they signed such a nice receiving class, four stars, even though it's hard to just break into the SEC and be superstars. So we'll see what happens there. But I think the veteran presence they had at running back is going to serve them well. And, of course, it's something we mention on here from time to time, the O-line, man, and they've just got to be a better, more block-sustaining O-line that just meshes well with the timing of the quarterback and all to be a good offense. But overall, yeah, a whole lot of young players on this roster. You know, I do think they upgraded in speed. They're not where they need to be. Chad Morris would tell you that. But they're trending in the right way.
We started the show out talking about it, and you probably saw this graphic that was going around Twitter that had all the schools in the league's records since expansion in 2012. And Arkansas's last in the SEC, 13-43. Alabama's only lost 5 games. That's pretty amazing right there. Alabama is like 41-5. But the thing that caught my mind is not just Arkansas's record, and we know about the record in 13 and the record in 17 and 18 that you know, those 3 seasons right there only amassed to 1 win. And really, if it went for 2015 and 16 where you had 8, this record would be, you know, even worse than it is. Do you think it's because of expansion that Arkansas's record is suffering, or because of everything else that's went on with Bobby Petrino's leaving, the swing and miss with Bielema, or is it? Why is Arkansas so far down the list when it comes to schools over the last seven seasons?
I did see that graphic, and it's eye-opening. I mean, we obviously all knew that Arkansas, since 13, wasn't in a good place, but to see it in that such a stark presentation, and it's several games behind.
Oh yeah,
the second to worst. It's alarming, and it's not pretty, and it's a combination of factors. Obviously, the coaching staff changes, the Petrino departure at the time he did, and you know, I don't know if they'd have been a great team in 2012, and they still would have had Tyler Wilson leading the offense, but I don't think they were a super strong defensive team in 2012. But I have a distinct memory of being at the Holiday Inn Convention Center in Springdale, and I don't know what the event was, but talking to David Gearhart on the phone the day that A&M was announced to be joining the league, there was some breaking news about A&M, and him saying, oh, yeah, we welcome them with open arms. Well, that's the, you know, the politically correct thing to say. But I do believe that A&M coming into the league has been, you know, detrimental overall to Arkansas, A, because they were one of the better teams at recruiting Texas, and obviously that's the Aggies' home. But, you know, B, when you've got that access to that much talent, you can get things done. And A&M had Johnny Manziel on the roster at that very time, and he was a complete difference maker. And so they jumped into the league, guns a-blazing, and Missouri jumped into the league with a very, very strong team under Gary Pinkel. In fact, I think they won the East maybe in his first season.
Yeah.
So
Missouri's only two below 500 at 27-28. You mentioned A&M. They're fifth best in that time period at 30-26 in this league. In fact, eight of the 14 schools have a 500 record or better. Five of those eight are from the Western Division. So it's not it's not like just the league is eating its own. I mean, it is to a, I mean, obviously when you're comparing conference records, but there's still schools that are having success. And, you know, Alabama at 51-5, then Georgia you would expect to be second, and they are. LSU, Florida, then it's A&M. And I find Auburn interesting there. They're right on the bubble with and equal with South Carolina at 28-28 each over this time period. I think it's an interesting year and kind of shifting back to SEC media days for Gus Malzahn and what goes on at Auburn. We know about his contract and the huge buyout he has, but, Tom, I think it's an interesting year to see what happens at Auburn, who, you know, is very quick triggered to make a change with their head football coach.
Yeah, and they've got so much money invested in him that, I mean, it would be a much more costly situation than what Arkansas just had with the Brett Bielema situation. So I completely agree with you. They've been up and down, and, you know, 28-28 is kind of the range you'd more expect to see Arkansas in, because, you know,
yep,
the Razorbacks have to cycle up and then kind of rebuild. And so perhaps Chad Morris, I mean, that's his charge, to stabilize things. That's Hunter Yurachek's charge, to get football right. And both guys showed up here in early 2018 saying that, you know, that's what they had to do, get the football piece right. But you're right about Auburn. It's just the challenge never ends. And A&M's been good. LSU's always going to be strong. Alabama, you just mentioned their record. It's hard to break through. And even though Gus Malzahn had a team in the national championship game during this time span we're talking about, there's just been too many 8-5s to go along with it. So, could be a crucible year for him.
I agree.
They were restless at the end of last year as well. So, hey, the fun never ends in the SEC West. And right now, you know, Arkansas is the team that's had it piled on them in the last few years. Time to start getting it back right.
And just looking at, you know, just back to this record again, since expansion, 13-43, you're 15 games below 500. You're behind Kentucky and Vanderbilt. It's hard to believe Tennessee's at the bottom with you. That's the other thing that's, and I'm sure Tennessee people are having the same thoughts, same conversations at 17-39, since, and they didn't have A&M come into their side of the league. They had Missouri come in. So Tennessee's problems are, you know, are probably harder to explain, but it's just not a place you want to be. 10 games behind Ole Miss over the same time period. 15 games behind Mississippi State, 15 games behind Auburn. I mean, it's just you got a lot of catching up to do, no question.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is one of those that's going to take you a decade, you know, kind of get that get the record back in,
right,
in good shape if you're playing good football. So
yeah, if you're going 5-3. I mean, if you're going 4-4, you're not gaining any ground. You know, you got to go 5-3 or better to gain some ground on that 500 record.
So. Yeah, crucible time for the Razorbacks in the next decade or so. It's a long game, and Arkansas has had its times in the SEC, and, you know, Nick Saban's got to retire sooner or later, but the spending and the arms race and you know, all that's never going to change. A good crucible game for Arkansas this year and we'll get more into this, I'm sure, as we go along, but the game at Kentucky, that'll be a fun game, a team that was on the upswing last year. Mark Stoops got a good program. Can Arkansas go in and be competitive in that game in Kentucky? That'll be fun to see.
All right, we'll talk about that Thursday and probably the Ole Miss game as well. We'll do that Thursday and kind of our last preview before SEC Media Days next week.
Sounds great, Tommy.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by the all-new Natural Light Natterdays, the new beer of the summer.
John's still out, probably literally still out, but he's on his way back from Destin some point today. He'll be here tomorrow, or he's scheduled to be here tomorrow for the Morning Rush. We'll see if he makes his triumphant return in about 22 hours from now. So he'll be here tomorrow. Brett Good, former Razorback, Super Bowl champion with the Green Bay Packers, is here with us today. You can watch the show on all the usual ways, YouTube channel, Facebook, Twitter. It's all there available for you. You can listen online, hitthatline.com, or use the TuneIn app. You can now text the show. Same number you call, 877-377-6963. You can send a text to that number. Ty's got some computer thing going on over here. He can see it. And then we'll read the good ones, all right? So
we're tech savvy here now on the Morning Rush.
Yeah, so now we didn't invent it. We just copied it from the other guys, all right? So now we can do the text thing like everybody else.
Yeah, we perfected it.
Is that what we've done?
Yeah.
Is that what, all right.
It's like Chick-fil-A always says, we didn't invent the chicken sandwich. Or, what do they say? Oh, I can't.
Yeah, you screwed that up.
Yeah, butchered that. Oh, well.
Hey, today's about getting back into the routine, right? I mean, for like 5 days, it's just been like an adult playground out there. Because no one's done anything since like Wednesday, right? And maybe since Tuesday. A lot of people took the whole week, or I say a lot, some people took like the whole week off, went out of town, been on vacation. It was a good time to use up some vacation time around the 4th of July. I don't always like to vacation around the 4th of July and like go somewhere. Because like I know John went to Destin. The roads are packed. The restaurants are packed. It's just not as enjoyable.
The beaches are packed.
The beaches are packed. Everything's expensive, more expensive than usual. You just go anywhere around July 4th and it's too crowded. Drives me nuts, frustrates me. So everybody's kind of getting back into the routine this week. You know, I had to set the alarm. You know, for 4 days, 5 days, you didn't have to worry about what time you got up. You know, you didn't worry about eating too much or drinking too much. It's vacation. It's 4th of July. And now we all wake up here on this Monday and our jeans are a little too tight and we got to get back to work. Got to have a sales meeting. Got to have a production meeting. We got to have a you know, whatever it is going on in your office this morning.
Get back on the New Year's resolutions.
I know. It's like summer resolutions. Christmas in July. What's that? I think New Year's in July, on July the 8th. So
you don't have to do it. Follow your diet on the holidays.
I don't think anybody. And that's the problem. You know, you could just bust your tail for a month to lose 10 pounds or 20 pounds or whatever. And like one July 4th, 4 or 5 day weekend. And it's whew, all your work done, you know. Out the window.
But the beer tasted good.
But it sure, it was cold and it tasted good. Man, I did a pork butt. I hadn't had time to smoke much this week. I put a pork butt on Saturday. It was one of the best ones I ever done. I was really impressed with it.
How long did you do it for?
9 hours. It was an 8-pounder, went 9 hours, pulled it at 2:05, and it was delicious.
It sounds really good.
Of course, the worst pork butt I ever had was delicious, too. But so it was a fun weekend just for sitting around the smoker, sitting around the outdoor fireplace, fire pit, being at the pool, being at the lake, whatever was on your agenda. Ty, you went to Nashville?
Nashville, Tennessee.
How was
fantastic.
That
was unbelievable this week, and there's a lot of people down there.
So you went with your you and your pops went?
Yeah, me and my dad stayed there for 2 nights and then or 2 days and then hung out with some friends the rest of the weekend. Mm-hmm. So it was a great time.
And you went to the Gold Cup soccer, the semifinal?
Gold Cup semifinal.
I say with
Jamaica.
A question mark.
Yeah. No, you got it.
All right.
You got it.
So how was that? Because that was, I mean, you really think about what was the big sporting events for the weekend. It wasn't this, what was it, 3M Golf Classic or whatever up in a minute. No one's paying attention to that. The guy from Oklahoma State who had just won the NCAA championships up at the Blessings 3 weeks ago, four weeks, whatever that was, he won that tournament yesterday.
With an eagle. 118.
Yeah, that might have been the best of the weekend. Yeah, because Bryson DeChambeau had eagled to one-up him. So he comes and goes, I'll see your 20-foot eagle putt and up you one. So that was kind of an exciting finish.
Takes some brash, you know what.
Mm-hmm, sure does. The old Billy Baru from Caddyshack. He needed the Billy Baru on that one. But that wasn't what anyone was focused on. Wimbledon, I guess, to a degree, because that got people kind of fired up about tennis last week and seeing some of that and the 15-year-old winning. Soccer, I think, was the kind of the highlight of the weekend for a lot of people because the U.S. women's team was in the World Cup final. Was it on y'all's TV? Because I just got this message on my DirecTV that Nexstar's in some kind of contract dispute, blah, 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 your host, you know? So, I mean, I wasn't going to go out of my way to find it. I wasn't getting rabbit ears out to find it.
So you really missed the soccer game.
I really missed the soccer game. And I wanted to watch it. I mean, like the one time in 4 years I want to watch soccer, can't watch it.
Do you watch it?
No.
Okay. I was driving, so I didn't watch it. I watched the highlights.
Thought it was over.
Yeah.
So I mean, that was kind of the weekend. Then we've been talking about trying to put this off because it's reality. It's like throwing water on the campfire, but it has to be done. Or Smokey Bear's coming after you. What this deal that, and I retweeted it, everybody's probably seen it at this point, that Arkansas is 13-43 since the league expanded. We've known these numbers, but we didn't want to deal with it. And then when it's put in the context it's in, and we should give the credit to
Pat Smith Radio.
To Pat Smith. He's a radio man in Birmingham who put this graphic out. But all it is just the records. I mean, just need to do the research and put it together. Alabama's really good. No surprise there. 51-5 since the league brought in A&M and Missouri. And Arkansas is bringing up the rear at 13-43. Arkansas is behind Vanderbilt, behind Kentucky, behind Ole Miss. Mississippi State's dead even, 28-28, along with South Carolina and Auburn. They're right in the middle of this thing. 8 of the schools in the SEC are 500 or better, and 5 of those 8 reside in the Western Division. And Arkansas, here you are. Seems like usual here lately, DAL.
Y'all want to hear another depressing stat?
Yeah, sure. What a way to get a Monday going.
So this is from David Hale, who used to work at ESPN. Arkansas also has the most fourth quarter blown leads since 2012 with 16.
All right, so enough of harping on the reality. What's Chad Morris got to do besides recruiting? We see what he's doing with going to Texas, and we brought that up a segment ago and getting Kevontae Dixon to be the 11th commitment. 8 of these 11 are from Texas. And obviously, recruit better can still be said. I don't care how good you're recruiting. Even Saban thinks he can recruit better because Clemson's number one in the country. So everybody can recruit better. But guess what? So is Alabama. So is Auburn. So is LSU. So is A&M. So is Ole Miss. So is Mississippi State. So recruiting better sounds good, but that's only part of it. You got to recruit better than those schools. Brett, what else has to change? Is it culture? Is it philosophy? Is it just needs more time? I mean, from your expert football opinion, what has to change starting this year to turn this battleship around?
Kind of goes off that stat Ty just said. It blown leads. Mm-hmm. We got to figure out a way to win those games. We got to get the confidence back into those guys that, you know, if something is going to go wrong, but you just got to maintain it. And when something goes wrong, they got to be able to correct that and win a fourth quarter to win a ball game.
You ever been in a situation where you have a mistake, it's a fumble, it's blown assignment on a, you know, the other team returns a kickoff for a touchdown, a punt return that, you know, something that flips the momentum in a game and just that sense of defeat sweeps us out. Were any of the Arkansas teams you were on that way? I can't imagine any of the Packers teams you were on ever had that defeated sense about it. But it seems like from the outside in, looking in, Arkansas's just got this defeated mentality they got to eradicate from the program.
It is, and that goes along with winning some of those games, because we always felt, even the 2 years we had losing record, we kind of felt like we were still in the ballgame, right? And we thought going into it, we sure were in it. I know obviously a lot of things have changed now, but they've got to get that mentality out of them.
Got a good text, Tommy, and I don't know who it's from, but it's talking about the quarterback situation, saying Chad Morris has to know who the starting quarterback is, and they can't be playing Russian roulette like they were last year, because they got to have someone to look to. They got to know who the leader of this football team is, and that could change at some point in the season, because I think everyone here thinks that Starkle has a pretty decent shot at the job, not only to start the season, but to maybe take it over in the long run. But you can't do what you did last year and go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Well, he's got to have a guy.
That wasn't because he just wanted to go back and forth, back and forth. That's not because that's how, let's just spin the wheel on the quarterback this week. It's because those guys weren't good enough to claim the job. I mean, let's just be honest about it. If Ty Story or Cole Kelly, either one, had stood up and took the job from the other, coaching staff would have been put in that spot. And eventually they more or less got to that until they had to put Connor Nolan in because of injury, following that Ole Miss game and the concussion with Ty Story. But really, Ty Story kind of took the job, but early on, you're right, in August, somebody needed to claim and win that job. And Ty Story didn't do it. Eventually he did. He needed to do it sooner. So I don't think the coaching staff wants to spin the wheel. Big spin. They don't want to go Bob Barker showcase showdown on this quarterback deal. But the quarterback's got to do their part.
Yeah, because if you don't have a quarterback in this league, you're going to get trampled like you have been the last couple years. Right. And can't have that again.
Exactly right. I mean, quarterback, you cannot win without solid quarterback play unless you are exceptional on the offensive line and running back. Then you got a chance.
Which Lindy's came out with their preseason rankings for the SEC defensive of offensive linemen. Arkansas at 14th offensive line and 12th at defensive line.
15th out of 14.
Yeah. Not great.
Running backs, they got a chance. Running backs, I think, are pretty decent. I just worry about the guys opening the holes for them.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.